Thank you, Maria. And Mark, if you could come up. Donald, thank you so much. Donald's ministry is just amazing. It was supernaturally inaugurated and brought to this church. There are a number of films, For the Glory, Saved by, what is it, The Grace, Touched by Grace, and a third one about a cop in Roanoke. What's the name of that one, Steve? What, bro? Badge of Faith. Is that also on the Netflix Prime thing or not? Yes? Amazon Prime. Okay. So they're out there if you want to see them, and we'd love to have you watch them. Mark.
All right. I am not preaching the sermon this morning, but one of the things that we're hoping for and expecting over the next 40 days of prayer is we're in the midst of it right now, is that God is going to move. He's going to answer our prayers. He's going to answer prayers for big things, for changes in our lives, for changes in the lives of the people that we love, for change in our culture. And he's also going to move in the little things, in the daily bread type of things, as we seek him in prayer, because he's a father that loves us and loves to give good things to his children. And so just this past week, I would love also, by the way, to hear testimonies over this period of time of how the Lord moves so that we can share those things and be mutually encouraged. And one of those things this past week was that I was eating dinner with my wife, Beth, and my children, and we were discussing how she has some spare time in her schedule when occasionally she's able to drop off the kids at her parents' house, and she's been thinking about finding some part-time work, maybe some telework, something she can do from home. But during that time, she was going to search for jobs, and she said, I can't really search for jobs. I don't have a laptop. I don't have any means of being able to pursue those jobs. And so she said, we might need to buy a laptop. And so I responded as the pastor. I said, why don't we just pray for one? And because, you know, I'm so holy, right? And she said, well, because, Mark, we have money, we don't need to pray for one. We could just buy one. And she was right. But I said, well, let's just pray anyway. I think the Lord delights to give good gifts to his children. So Beth prays. And so she prays and she says, Lord, you have provided for us. You've been generous to us. But we could use this laptop. And so I ask you for it, and her prayer literally was like, I ask you for this even though I know we could just pay for it and you've already provided for us, but Lord, I ask you for this laptop anyway in Jesus' name, amen. And so we pray about it, we kind of leave it, and then I think 4 or 5 days later, I'm at Fusion, our young adult ministry, and afterward, one of our guys, Matt Weissenborn, he gives me one of these, like, come over here, and he works in IT, and he says, hey, my company is upgrading all these laptops. And so we have 30 laptops that we're just wiping and putting Windows on. Do you guys need one? So, yeah. Yeah. So right now, look under your chairs. And I'm just kidding. The point is, God answers these prayers. And we were so thankful, not for the laptop so much, that he just hears even the simple things we pray. And we were just encouraged in that. And so seek the Lord. Ask him for things. And he, in all the areas that you're not necessarily inviting him into your life, be open to inviting him in. He loves you. He loves you, and he loves to respond to your prayers. So back to the Pastor Bill. Mm-hmm. Get ready for the sermon.
Thank you, Mark. In God's graciousness, he's brought us a couple stories. Last week, someone I know was baptized, came to Christ through you and your ministry, and in response to prayer, direct response to prayer. I mean, we pray. One thing about writing things down somewhere, journaling them, which I don't do. I write them on my brain, and that's a pretty unsafe place to keep them. But he loves to show you his hand. That's the truth. We're going to talk about that, and so I'm very grateful for this time. Let's, you know, Pastor Warren starts things out this way. To know the Lord, to know the God of heaven and earth, we have to talk with him, and spend time with him, and read the wondrous tales of his love and sacrifice in the Holy Scriptures, because many of us have a faulty conception of God. A.W. Tozer, the famous Bible expositor, said this. He said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Some people have the image of God as the grumpy God. He's had a bad day at all times. He's cranky. He's angry. He's upset about everything. Then there's the crouching tiger God. He's just waiting to pounce on you. You know, these things that Warren has written down are funny, but we really live in them. Flaky father God, moody. He has his moods and changes his mind about you continually. Then there's the cosmic cop God whose only purpose is to enforce the rules. Then the dictator God, always demanding more and more. My child, you haven't done enough. You're doing fine. But we need more and more and more out of you. Then there's the Santa Claus God, the one that's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. And then I think perhaps the most popular version, and this one is a scary one, it's the Play-Doh God. You make him into any form you want. You create a God really in your own image, and he likes every bad thing you do, every good thing you do. Some think he should be made into the Mr. Potato Head God. When you want him to feel sorry for you, you make a little frown in the potato, and when you want him to be happy for you, in other words, you create a God of your own. It's not made out of a stone or a stick. It's a mental image, which is not a biblical one, which is not a real one, and it is not a helpful one to you. It starts normally with the phrase, I like to think of God as like this. And the question is, and the title of this is, who do you think you're talking to? What is God really like? Well, that's a huge question, but we know that he is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's all loving. He is kind. He is unchanging. He is holy. And what we need to know underneath all of this foundationally is that God is good. You know, throughout this sermon, you should have in your mind the refrain of the popular kind of modern song, "Your Good, Good Father." Because one of his prime characteristics that he puts forward is his goodness and his love towards you. Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. He is the reason there is good in the world. He's a good creator. He's the source, in fact, of all good in the world. Interestingly, you can't spell good without God. The reason for evil in a world that he created was also because of a great, enormous gift. And the subject is too broad for this morning, but it's really quite simple. He is also God of liberty and freedom. You have the freedom to choose what you do. Do good or do evil. And in bequeathing that freedom to his children, he has opened, in a sense, Pandora's box, a box of choice. Some choices are devastating to the human personality, and others are life-giving. And the issue then becomes, will you ask Christ to come in, live his life through you? And that will revolutionize your choices. If he is not good, then there's zero reason to pray and much to be fearful about. But knowing that he is good implies four things. Number one, God's plans for your life, his desires for you are always good. Is there anything he can't do in this regard? Yes. There are a number of things, many things. He cannot deny his own character. He cannot do evil. He will do what is right for you. Jeremiah 29 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, Brian, or whoever you are, Tom, Bill. Plans for, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me. See the connection here between prayer and the goodness of God? I am for you. My plans are good for you. I am a good God. And when you realize that, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Pray in specificity. Pray in the sure knowledge that he hears you. And yes, he will answer your prayer. We'll talk about that again in a second. But if he cares about the sparrow that falls to the earth and the hair on your head he has numbered, he cares about the goofiness of needing a laptop. Yes, he does. And what he wants you to see is the coordination of the event and heart of prayer and his own goodness. So we walk through a life in an evil world with a measure of faith and hope and endurance and patience. And over time, these things being formed in our character will not disappoint us. We are not an accident. There is a purpose for our life. God put a lot of thought into creating your life. God's plans for you are revealed and realized through prayer. God didn't have to create a plan for your life. He could have left it all to chance in some way, but he didn't. Why? Because he's good. Donald was created to be a filmmaker. He has an unusual set of characteristics, personality, all kinds of things that before he was in the womb, God had in his mind. I'm going to create this child like this, and I'm going to give him a helpmate. And there's a lot of wondrous things he did to allow this man to have the impact that he's having in his world. Well, you're no different. And although bad things happen to good people, and we'll discuss that, you were created for a wondrous person. And God's plans for you are good because he is a good, good father. Psalm 31. God, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings to those who honor you. You do so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. He wants people to look at you with curiosity, and they espouse their varied philosophies, but in the final analysis, they see something is happening in that man's life. I see something to imitate in Leon Gibbs. He has a certain internal strength that I just don't have. There's a certain security going on there that causes me to wonder what's going on in that man. He has stored up positive intention and thoughtfulness towards us. Well, you may say, if God is good, why are so many things bad in life? Well, if you read the scripture, he doesn't promise us a perfect world in allotting freedom to man or a measure of freedom to man without getting into the deep theology of what man can and cannot do in his freedom. In giving you that gift, he withdrew a key that would be in your back, making you robotic and doing whatever you wanted to do. And so whole cultures and people groups do that which is evil and unbelievable. It was the cost Christ and God the Father were willing to pay to enable you to love freely one another and him. And he is just thrilled and hoping for the moment when his creation will begin to resonate in a greater way, when the kingdom of God comes upon them in such a way that he is reflected in their actions and in their being. Not everything on the planet is good. It's a broken planet. But here's what we know, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, even the bad things can work out for good. The more you pray, the better you know your purpose. The better you know your purpose, the more God can use everything for good. And we talked last week about Joseph, and just to hit it quickly, horrible things happened to a man of God, a prophet of God, thrown in a pit, essentially tormented for years. Horrible, and some of you have been through some stuff like that. It is because of the wicked hearts of human beings, but God can use even that for your good. He took Joseph from the pit to the penthouse and allowed him to save his family and, in a sense, a nation. Now, having said that, I read the story of a Navy SEAL, and this is a tough one. His father was, I'm going to say, had massive problems, and he beat this child almost his whole childhood. That's ridiculous. It's horrible. This is man, self-centered man, be quiet, shut your mouth, unbelievably overwrought about childish behavior. And so this child suffered, but something happened to him that's a little different. rather than being broken and crushed by it, in a certain sense, it made him stronger. So when he decided to go into the Navy, there was no challenge that he could not meet. There was no amount of pain that he could not greet and endure. And in so doing, he became one of our finest defenders on the practical application world of kind of undercover stuff. One of the top operators. And through that, seeing the wickedness in men's heart and the things that he had to do daily, he did finally come to the end of himself. He could not do his job or live in an evil world in his own strength, and so he gave his life to Jesus Christ and was soundly converted. I don't think God was the author of the punishment, but I do believe he can use everything in our life for our good. The more you trust in the goodness of God, the happier you'll be. Not only that, it says in Romans 5:3, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. On earth, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. I was a wrestler. Every day of my junior year in high school, I'd go into the wrestling room for hours on one of the best teams in the state, and a boy who was smaller than me, a weight class under mine, defeated me every single day, day and night. I was beaten endlessly. Now, I could have asked, God, don't you love me? Why can't you just, you know, one time give me something on this guy? Didn't happen. But here's what did happen. When I competed, I was 13-1, and I shouldn't have lost the one match. You know why? Because I endured that guy turning me into a pretzel every day of my life. That's a principle in life. No pain, no gain is a truism, especially in the kingdom of God. You can make lemonade out of lemons. You really can. How many of you have had some lemons? God still has a plan. And he can use what's happened to you, your position, your background, for good. Don't let any voice tell you anything different. Everything God does in my life, he allows. He can make good out of it. You can't say that about anybody else. Number two, because God is always good. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. If we all got what we deserve, we would not be here. We would be gone. We would be doomed. But Psalm 103 says this. He does not deal with us. Hang on to this. Listen. You know, I wish we were all perfect. I am among the most imperfect of men. Therefore, I can speak here. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities because of his goodness. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. East from west is theoretically, in the kind of idea of it, an infinite distance. Does he push our sins away from us? He cannot show his life in any greater way than giving his life for us and taking all of our sins upon himself and removing them from our weakened body. Temptation to sin are sure to come, the Lord Jesus said. It was woe to those that brought the temptations. That's what he was. Woe to those evil that will hurt my children. God is a good father. When David committed murder, we all know this one, adultery, murder, it's horrible. He deserved a nightmarish treatment. Even in that, for our sake, I believe God showed him mercy. And you know he's noted in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. He would get up and high after the victory in a battle and think that he was untouchable, and he messed around with women and was solidly chastised by his father. But he lived, and he lives as a testimony to us that God can and will forgive our every sin if we will only turn to him in humble repentance and ask him for mercy. He knew God is good, because here's what he prays in Psalm 51 after his sick interactions with Bathsheba and her husband. God, in your goodness, have mercy on me. Wash away my guilt and make me clean again from my sin. cleanse me. All that you've done, you know, fits me. All you've done, somebody hand me a gun. Let me put you out of your misery. That's human justice. And yet, a good, good father still meets this guy with love. If he's like that with this guy, how is he with you? God forgives you, not because you're good, but because he is. God does more than forgive us. He welcomes us back, prodigal son. He doesn't reject us. He receives us. One of our greatest fears, all of us, is the fear of rejection. We do everything possible to avoid it. Why? It's why you try to cover up all the bad parts in your life. It's why we wear the mask and all this kind of stuff. It's why some people won't go on certain retreats that have the name male in them because they don't want to show they got problems. Well, welcome to the human race. I deal with addiction my whole life. I've had my own struggles, okay? And you come in a room like this and there are people thinking, I'm the only one in this room that has this problem. No, you're not. There's no temptation that deceives you that is not common to man. But with the temptation, God can provide a way out. And it has to do with empowerment from a good, good father, not your own effort. And looking at your life in total reality and saying this has to go in that. It's not time for an addiction talk. Because God is good, he will never reject you. You should have no fear of that. He chastises every son that he receives, but that is for our benefit. Psalm 27, for my mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord, here's how good he is, the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the right now, he will show his love. And not only that, he's the God of second chances. Because God is good and gracious, this is where this is going in terms of prayer. When we realize he's like that, we begin to open our lips. We say, Lord, help me here. Laptop? If he cares about a laptop, does he care about your situation? If you're married to someone with a gift of freedom, and they're not loving you and doing right, you are probably powerless to do anything about that. But there is a great God in heaven who will hear your plea and engineer things in life to come and shape. And oftentimes he has a fix to fix us with. He's a good, good father. And the God of the second chances, and he is gracious. I have clung to the scripture my whole life and other permutations from it. Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest, that's the Lord Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands you. Your father understands you. It's not like he hasn't felt your pain and is just talking out of a cosmic nothingness in his head. He has been tempted in every way, and yet, without sin, making him the perfect sacrifice and Lamb of God sent to take away our sins. Let us then with confidence, if he's like that, if he's sensitive and sympathizes with my craziness, if he understands why we break down, let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. God wants us not to be driven by guilt, but drawn by grace. And when you know your high priest has been touched with all your infirmities and he's not shocked at anything you've done, you come to him and you pray to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Third, because God is always good, God put my good above his own good. This is the heart of the gospel. What it is a king gives his life for the peasants. Now, those of you that watch Robin Hood, you know that the peasants and all those people are working for the sheriff of Nottingham, right? Okay, that's real history, at least fictional real history. And the point is, Jesus works for the peasants. The God of heaven and earth comes down in the form of man and puts on the garb of a servant and then dies for them. That's why this story is so amazing and unbelievable. It is counter every human inclination. We all want to be the big cheese. And he's there with his disciples and robes himself as the lowliest of slaves and then hangs in that same condition for his peasants. That's what love does. I am the good shepherd, he says in one place. I know my own. That's you. And my own know me. Do you know him? Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. They don't do it for me. You know, many wars have been fought for giant egos sitting in big chairs somewhere. This is not this. This war was won by a giant heart beating for you and dying in your place. Jesus didn't just die for you. He imputed to you righteousness. He puts his goodness inside you. He doesn't just die for you and take away your sins, but he puts within you goodness and love. 2 Corinthians 5, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. He cleans up his child, his baby, and then feeds him with the loving, majestic milk of his love and kindness. And his very life he wants to impart to you. Be you filled with the Spirit. Well, who is the Spirit? He is the third person of the Trinity. Not less than one in three in one is the mysterious union of the Godhead. And in that, he wants to put his very nature in you and help you in your infirmity and weakness. And how does he do that? You just ask him. He's a gentleman. He won't come in unless you want him to come in. But if you want help, you say to a good, good father, help, help, help. The great exchange, sinless Christ poured into him our sins. In exchange, he pours God's goodness into us. It isn't fair. It's amazing. It's amazing grace. Song written, by the way, by a slave trader who repented. Romans 4:25, he died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God. He is our justice, filling us with God's goodness. Amazing. What does it have to do with prayer? Everything. God, who did not spare his own son, Romans 8:32, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him give us all things? If he didn't spare his son, in the mundane, small potatoes of life, relative to that, relative to eternity, in a darkened world, for sure, he wants to hear our voices and have a relationship. And it is so helpful, isn't it? When Mark prayed that prayer about a goofy laptop, all those of you that have walked with Christ for a while, that's not a one-time event. It is an almost weekly event with the believer. If you talk to the Father and you have needs, It's funny. He like chooses the needs that he knows you really need. But when you have a lifetime of this, I can't deny his reality. I can't see him, but I know him. And I know he answers prayers that are according to his will. I just know it over and over. The very existence of this church bears mute testimony to that fact. That you're here bears testimony to that fact. That I have these beautiful children, one crazy one is in Hollywood with Donald. What? How does this happen? What's going on here? Something beyond us for a greater purpose. God is at work in Tim Fairchild over at the fire department to change his world, or Brian Roberts. There's no secret that a godly, spirit-filled pastor is going to go essentially administrate our forces in Afghanistan. You know why? Because God loves Afghans. And he only sends the very best. He died for our sins and rose again, filling us with God's goodness. God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also in him give us all things? All things. What do you truly need? Ask and you shall receive. You have to ask because that cements the relationship. God's going to do what he's going to do. Fine, true, but when you ask, led by the Spirit, and it correlates with the answer, that changes you. If you ask a specific prayer, and there is a correlation in the answer, it changes you.
And the world is changed by changed people. The world is changed by changed people. He is a good, good father. Now, last week we talked about how he does not say yes to every prayer, and I'm not going to revisit that except to remind you. God answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's slow. Not yet, but it's coming. Sometimes it's grow. You need to grow. And then I'll answer it. And then sometimes it's go. It's right now. It's 5 days later. There's the laptop. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him who asks him? God will never give you anything hurtful or bad. It won't come from him. But in here, some fathers are asking for snakes. That's child abuse. God is not like that. That's the point. And if you know that, and you specifically ask him for that which is good and perfect and holy, he hears that prayer and help is on the way. Some prayers he doesn't answer because they're hurtful to you, or it's, wait a while, I'll just mention one and I'm almost through here. James and John's mother, similar to mothers, the famous General Douglas MacArthur's mom actually worked behind the scenes to get him promotions. He probably didn't need it, but it helps. And here, the two disciples, James and John's mother, say to the Lord Jesus, can my son sit on either side of you in your kingdom? Come on, that's a crazy question. Let's be honest. That's full of ego, need, wanting a healthy self-reflection. I want to be queen. They can kind of be my boys down there, and I look good, and I feel good about myself. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. Sometimes prayers aren't answered because we're asking for the wrong thing. That's all I want to say on that for this week. The test comes in reality. It is easy to trust God when everything is going good, but it's very difficult when things seem to be bad in your life, when things don't work out the way you've planned, when your wife has cancer, when your child is hurt, when a myriad amount of things happen. But I'll tell you something. He's still a good, good father. And whatever happens, by faith, I make this statement. He will work it together for you for good in some way that you cannot understand at the moment you're going through the pain. Just remember, you live in a fallen world. And that means that sin has infected everything. Everything. Corruption at the top, corruption at the mid-level, corruption down here. And yet God knows your name. And his heart is good towards you. And what you need to do is say in faith when the tough times come, what Job says in the song we sing. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And you know why Job said that? Because he knew he had a good, good father. Prayer is not a painkiller. There is pain in life. There is no scripture that I'm aware of that says we're not going to have pain. But he, the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, is a help in time of need. He is a good, good father. And he loves you endlessly in great depth. Here's your prayer. Longs to have conversations with you. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, you are a good, good father. Let us never forget that. Lord, in spite of our infirmities and failings, help us to come to you in utter humility and openness. You know it all anyway, and just say, Lord, this isn't right. I know it's not right. I don't need my wife to tell me that, or my kid, or the boss. Help me. Help me with this.
And if it's a material thing, you need a job, that's a good prayer. God wants you to have a job. Oh God, meet the needs of those who need jobs. And Lord, there are people here who have physical infirmity. Lord, help them to use this time to reach out to you in prayer, at least ask for your help, and know that you hear and answer. We commit this 40 days to you in every day of our life. Glorify the name of your dear Son through this series and through the testimony of your love. And we know that you're a good, good Father. And if there's one person here who has not received you as their Father, Bible says, he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just say, Father, take my life. Make me what you want me to be. If you pray that prayer, he's going to come in, change you, and signify your conversion through baptism. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.